It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
All right, ladies, we are in Lesson 66 in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, and Connie Stample is here, our teacher. Hello, Connie.
Hello.
And what are we going to be learning about today?
Today, Jacob is going to bless all of his sons.
All right, this will be incredible. I'm going to start reading, but we're going to stop and start a little bit so we can talk about each one of these blessings. And it goes like this. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in the dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch."
All right, so here we have this first part of the prophecies and blessings of Jacob on his children. And truly, we're going to see that some of it is related to their character, who they've been. And through the Holy Spirit, actually, Jacob is saying what they're going to be like in the land, what their portion in the land will be, what their leadership will be like. And ultimately, some of it applies to the coming of the Messiah. And each one of them is blessed. There's one cursing or curse about some of the activities of Levi and Simeon, but we're going to see some beautiful things about how Jacob in faith is blessing his children. Here with Reuben, though, even though he's the firstborn, he has lost that right of being firstborn because of his having sexual intercourse with Bilhah. And we find out that he is unstable as water. Literally, the Hebrew means he's boiling like water. And so he's just uncontrolled. He doesn't control his emotions. And so that's why he will not be firstborn.
All right. The next one, Simeon and Levi are together. It says, "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. All my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel."
Yes, so here we're back to chapter 34 with the account of what they did in Shechem, where they massacred everyone. And they obviously are violent and self-willed and dangerous, truly. And so their father curses their anger and their wrath. And because of that, they are going to be divided in the land. We'll find that Simeon actually gets absorbed by Judah, and it's not really having its own place in the land. And Levi is going to become the priestly tribe. And in Exodus, they actually do God's will, and they kill their brothers who are sinning against the Lord. But they are going to be divided up and scattered throughout the land in those cities of refuge. And so they will not have their own place. And so this is what God has done with these two tribes.
All right. Verse 8, "Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine. His teeth are whiter than milk."
So Judah, who's already shown his leadership ability, is given the blessing of actually leading the family. He's going to have the kingship eventually when David comes to power, and it will be an everlasting, eternal kingship. And that's because when we get to the part that says until tribute comes to him, or your Bible might say until Shiloh comes, and truly it's referring to the Messiah, because the Messiah will come from Judah's line, Jesus Christ, and he will reign eternally. And it says, "To him shall be the obedience of the peoples." And here we have the culmination of God's promise and covenant with Abraham about how Abraham is to be a blessing so that others will be blessed through his seed, his descendant, Jesus Christ. And so this is going to be the culmination of all that God is doing in and through this family for his purpose. And then we find that there's going to be incredible abundance of a bountiful grape harvest. And truly, there was a bounty in Israel during the time of David and Solomon, but ultimately that great bounty will be during the Messiah's reign. So Judah has a beautiful picture of the blessing of leadership.
All right. Verse 13, Zebulun shall dwell at the shore of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall be at Sidon.
So here we find this son is going to be prosperous one, and he lives close to the sea, and he's on the trade route that goes alongside the sea. And we also find in Judges that he is a noble warrior.
All right. And verse 14, Issachar is a strong donkey crouching between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to the bear and became a servant at forced labor.
All right. We find that Issachar is going to be strong and industrious and with good agriculture, but at someday he will also serve others, and he's on the border of Israel, and that's probably that will be his lot. He's not a leader, but he's a good worker.
All right. Verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls backward. I wait for your salvation, O Lord.
Yes. Here we find that Dan is a leader and is supposed to be a judge, because that's what his name means, but he is also treacherous. He's a serpent. He's a viper. And we find that the tribe of Dan was the first one to have idol worship, and they were also morally insecure, and they were not ones that followed the Lord well. And actually, in Revelation 7, when it lists the tribes of Israel, Dan is not listed. So not sure exactly what that means, but it's not a good thing. And then we find in verse 18 that Jacob then prays, and he says, I wait for your salvation, O Lord. And so he's depending upon the Lord for salvation. He might be praying for Dan. He's definitely praying for himself and for all of his children that they will wait on the Lord.
All right, verse 19, raiders shall raid Gad, but he shall raid at their heels.
Gad itself sounds like the word for attack or raid. And so Gad in the Transjordan is going to be subject to people's coming in and trying to overtake him, but he will learn to attack back.
All right, verse 20, Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies.
Asher had a very beautiful piece of land along the coast and was very rich agriculturally, but he grew content. He didn't help Israel very much during the wars that happened during Judges.
All right, verse 21, Naphtali is a doe let loose that bears beautiful fawns.
Naphtali is actually the region of Galilee. It's mountainous, mm-hmm. and it's an area where they became good warriors. They were faithful, and ultimately, actually, most of the disciples are going to come from that area.
Verse 22, Joseph is a beautiful bough, a fruitful bough by a spring. Its branches run all over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, and harassed him severely. Yet his bough remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who is set apart by his brothers.
Oh, what a beautiful blessing for Joseph. And we know that Joseph has already been divided into two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim is going to be a very mighty tribe. And we're going to have Joshua and Deborah and Samuel coming from that tribe. And also Manasseh is going to be a great tribe. And we see how it speaks about the affliction of Joseph, but how he was sustained by the mighty one of Jacob, and how the blessings on him will exceed those of the blessings given to Abraham and Isaac, and how he's been set apart from his brothers.
All right, verse 27, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf in the morning, devouring the prey, and at evening dividing the spoil.
All right, so Benjamin is like a ravenous wolf. He's warlike, he's aggressive. He, in Judges, will be known as an expert archer and producing expert archers and slingers. And we have Ehud coming from Benjamin. We have King Saul coming, his son Jonathan. And actually, finally, the Saul who becomes Paul in the New Testament is a Benjaminite.
All right. And wrapping up this chapter in verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is at the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites.
All right, and so we have a summary again of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we find that Jacob himself again is saying that he is to be gathered to his people, to his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to his wives. And he asks again to be buried with his fathers in the cave in Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, the land of Canaan. And so his home is there. That's where his promises are. He doesn't really own much of that land, and his descendants for now are sojourners in Egypt, but God will bring him back. And so Jacob is holding on to the promises of God that he is going to be a great nation with numerous descendants and will own the land, and ultimately that through his seed will come the promised Messiah. And here, as we're nearing the end of Genesis, we're seeing how God is working in and through the patriarchs to bring about his purposes. But truly, as we reflect on Jacob's life, it is a beautiful picture of a man who has come to know God and trust God and hold on to his promises. So that wraps up today's lesson. Please find the notes on naomistable.com.